Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, wanting to read to you from Psalm 96. It says, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name, proclaim good tidings of His salvation from day to day. Tell of His glory among the nations, His wonderful deeds among all the peoples." Well, it is a great privilege that I have today to sit across the table from somebody that I admire greatly, I've gotten to know, and just appreciate him so much, and that is the music legend, Bill Gaither. Bill, welcome to the program.
Legend. Boy, that's... would you mind? I got glorious number right here. You can call her.
I mean, wouldn't you be considered a legend?
In my own mind, maybe.
No, I think everybody considers you a legend. I mean, all the things that you've done. I saw today, Bill, I was doing a little research, and they said you've been in the music business for 70 years. Is that right?
That's probably fair to say that. Of course, in my mind here again, it was either the sixth grade or the seventh grade, but I began hearing harmonies in my head, melodies. I would play them on my teeth. Kevin Williams gets a big kick out of this, but this is a one, this is a two, this is a three, this is a four. And if I had been my teacher, I'd say that is one strange kid sitting back there. Because I was pretty good in English, I was pretty good in grammar, but man, when it came to anything scientific, math, and all that complicated stuff, I went back to, this is a one, this is a two.
Okay, but music is a lot of math.
That's what they say, and especially when they're talking about classics, like classical writers like Bach. They said he was like he was a mathematician.
Yeah.
Yes, there is. I have a grandson who is finishing his doctorate at the New England Conservatory of Music as a composer. Now, he's a composer. Bach was a composer. I am a songwriter.
Okay.
Every now and then somebody calls me a composer. I said, no, let me correct you there. Beethoven was a composer. I am a songwriter. But my grandson, I don't know where, you know, his mother was a musician and his father was also a musician, but he is a composer and understands all of the subtleties of that. I'm a songwriter. Okay.
Now you got involved in music from the time you were a little kid, right? Your parents are musical?
My parents were not musical at all. I never heard my dad. He may have whistled, but he was a tool and die maker. In fact, all of our families were mechanics, technicians. They could fix stuff.
Okay.
I can't fix anything. Something breaks, I say, Gloria, we need some help here. Okay. But for some reason, in the sixth, seventh, eighth grade, I started turning on the radio, and I heard Mayo four-part harmony, which was not that far. And it happened to be gospel harmony. But at the same time, in the secular field, there were the four lads, four preps, four freshmen, Bill's brothers, all kind of quartets doing a different kind of thing. And many of the gospel quartets would use some of those harmonies. So today when I hear people criticize the young musicians for singing, quote unquote, tunes of the world, I say, well, that's happened clear back to Martin Luther's time. Mm-hmm. Martin Luther was criticized for using what they called street tunes. I cannot imagine that "A Mighty Fortress Is" right. was a street song.
Yeah, bar tune.
Bar tune, yeah. But they were criticized. And "Come the Fount of Every Blessing" was a bar tune.
Yeah.
And we put religious words to it. So,
okay. Okay, so let me ask you this as a musical guy, because it seems like when you ask people today, older people, you know, over 50, let's say, what's the best era of music? What's the best decade of music? That we always go back to high school.
Yeah.
Well, when I was in high school, so I'm a product, I was in high school in the 70s.
Yeah.
So when you were in high school, was big band still the big player?
Yes. I was in high school from 51 to 54, but at that time, the pop groups are like the Mills brothers, the Ames brothers, the Four Freshmen, and also big bands were kind of phasing out some.
Okay.
Sinatra and all those guys were still, obviously, were still around.
Yeah.
But I was more influenced by the vocal than I was by the instrumental.
Okay. So Happy Days kind of music, that would hit more your high school genre?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it had to have some human voices vocally coming together. Even the McGuire sisters, three girls, Andrew sisters. I just love the harmonies.
Yeah.
And I think there's probably an argument even today about, I miss the harmony. A lot of the praise and worship tunes, they are teaching the congregations the melody, which is fine. Melody is part of it, but I like it when it comes together and the altos do their part and the tenors do their part and the basses do their part, mm-hmm. and it comes together. I'm not saying one is more godly than the other. I'm just simply saying one appeals to me better than the other.
Okay, so when you first started, you're saying you're a middle schooler when you started noticing, hey, I can hear things that maybe other people can't hear. You still have that ear to hear all that.
Yes. And Pastor, there are times in the studio when we work on a very subtle vocal harmony. And I always kid and say, and sometimes it takes an hour or so to get just a measure in there and get it all tight and good. And I will laugh and say, I don't think it's going to sell any more records. I still say records. Any more records in Peoria, Illinois. But at least we've got it right in my head. And I think that's the way a lot of musicians feel about what they do. But we work hard. The vocal band, we work hard on making sure the parts are right and the harmony is right.
Yeah.
And it's what we call tight harmony.
Okay, let me ask you this, Bill, because I know you are a musical coach, so to speak, with picking talent. And, we talked about basketball before we got on the air, and you love sports and you love basketball. So you're kind of a player coach.
Yeah, yeah.
Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely.
Okay. Do you enjoy playing more than coaching or coaching more than playing?
Yes, yes. Okay. I love both sides. Now, I'd have to say at this stage, when you're 88, you're not going to... Michael Jordan, even at... Where is he? 60, 50 or 60 now? I don't know. He can't dunk the basketball like he used to dunk the basketball. Yeah. He probably still plays. And, as long as it's something easier, I can do it. But every year I get more limited there. But the joy of the whole thing is this little thing that I do, I guess it's called producing. Coaching, I can probably do for a pretty long time. At least the guys think, like when we do sound check, they'll say, what do you think? And they will listen to what my ears are hearing. So to answer your question, I probably enjoy coaching more now because I cannot
play like you used to.
I cannot live out what I hear in my head.
Yeah.
That's probably true with aging, period. There are a lot of things in your head that you think you do. We just came up some steps. Well, by the time I got here, my breathing was a little bit harder than it was when we started.
Hey, I was impressed because I walk up the steps here to do the program and I get out of breath, and you did great. Okay, Bill, you've been in music for so long, singing for so long. When do you think, if you had to look back, when was your prime for just your vocals? How old were you?
I'm not sure that I was ever a great vocalist, and I'm just being honest here, and I'm not trying to search for compliments. My brother, I've always been blessed. I was blessed with a brother who was fantastic, and so he sang the lead in the group. Now, the baritone part is a part that the least of the singers can take. I'll be getting emails from all the baritones out there saying, wait a minute. But it's very, very necessary.
Right.
But it's not the lead singer. My brother, I have sung with some amazing lead singers. My brother was the first one. Uh-huh. And then Gary McSpadden took his place. And I was the coach and the general manager of the team. So I looked out there and I said, who would be a good replacement here? And when you get a singer, you're not only getting a voice, but you're also getting a personality,
right?
A person with a philosophical and theological depth.
Right.
And it helps if it's deeper. You can't always get that. And secondly, you got to get one who is physically in shape to do it. I never forget one time we were making a change. We've only had 16 changes in the vocal band. And for 35 years, that's not bad. Even though Mark kids me about their revolving door. Little Wes has been there 20 years. That's a long time.
Group now has been together a long time.
Yes, for quite a long time. And they are wonderful. They are. I've never had a bad group. I've had groups where the chemistry came together a little bit better. When I mean chemistry, I don't mean people who want to do immoral bad things. I'm talking about a singer that really grew up in a different time, and the kind of music he likes is not necessarily the kind of music the vocal band sings.
Right.
And I totally understand that. But this current group is pretty amazing. But you have to look at a whole lot of things when you're looking at a new singer. The voice, the spirit, his mate.
Right.
His marriage, his family.
Now, do they normally travel with the group?
No. Okay. And we don't travel that much. For instance, I was home yesterday morning, got on the bus 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, and I'm here looking at you this morning. And
does the travel wear you out, or do you?
A little bit more than I used to. A lot of the times I fly.
Yeah, I would think the travel, it's like being a pastor or being a traveling evangelist. You have to be kind of wired that way. I think too much travel would be really hard for me. Sounds glamorous. Until you start doing it. Now, I have a friend, I don't know if you know him, Doyle Dykes. He's a guitar player.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Phenomenal. And he and I have gotten to be really good friends. He just loves being on the road. He's a road warrior. He loves that. If he's home too much, he gets kind of antsy. He likes to go and play.
From the very beginning, Gloria and I were married back in the 62, started having kids. We were both teaching at the time. And writing part-time. After 10 years, they're writing, and then we started singing the songs we were writing. The night job overtook our day job. But from the very beginning, when the phone started ringing and the mail started happening, that was before email and all the other right. stuff, I said, either that phone is going to control our lives, or I'm going to control the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to learn how to say no. And sometimes saying no to one thing is saying yes to something better. Mm-hmm. And everybody has to do this in their lives. But when it comes to being away from home, being away from sleeping in your own bed, you got to control that. So from the very beginning, and we've kept good records, we wouldn't be out more than maybe about 60 dates out of the year. Now, that seemed like a lot to a lot of people, but to a lot of the country artists, you know, I hear they're out 200 days.
I mean, crazy.
I'd be a basket case. And I have to change it, what I'm doing. Yul Brynner, before he died, said he did 6,000 performances of The King and I. I can't imagine doing that same thing every night. Tonight will be different than what we did,
you know,
last weekend. And we have that privilege of doing that, to keep it interesting, you know.
Yeah.
But back to your question, the balance of on the road. There are times, and in early days, Gloria went with me. But about 20 years ago, she said, "You love male quartet singing. Why don't you go do that? I've never claimed to be a singer anyway." She's an unbelievable lyricist. She's an unbelievable writer. And she said, "Let me stay home with my pen. I'd rather do that."
Yeah.
And that works out fine. You know, I've talked to her 2 times this morning. You know,
we FaceTime's a wonderful thing, isn't it, Bill?
It's just wonderful, yeah. And I think, I wouldn't say this carefully, but there are times I think she's glad that I'm out of the house. And there are times that I'm glad to be on the road with you.
We're talking to Bill Gaither. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here talking to the great Bill Gaither. And this is a program that we are taping. Bill is here with his vocal band, and we're looking forward to a great concert tonight at First Baptist Texarkana, tonight being November the 7th, in Thursday night in Texarkana, Texas. Well, Bill, you started singing fairly young, started singing and performing, and making that switching from being a teacher to now I'm a full-time, my wife is writing, we're writing together, and I'm starting to travel and sing, and I can make a living doing this. How old were you when you started making a living doing that?
After I got out of high school, I tried to do full-time music for a year. None of our folks went to college. And a good thing happened when I was 19 years old, out there on the road. We starved to death that year, but it was a wonderful lesson. I had to go back and look in the mirror and say, Bill, be honest, your vocal skills are not that good. I compared it to other people my age. Gary McSpadden was already with the Imperials Quartet. Mm-hmm. You're not as good as Gary singing. Playing is not as good as Jackie Marshall, who played with the Blackwood Brothers. I think there are times when you have to really be honest about your own skills. What can you do? What can you not do? So I said, you better go back and find something you can do for a living. What do you like? Well, I've always loved words, loved reading. So I said, I major in English. I didn't want to major in music. And I still love. I love to play around with grammar. I was having an operation on my little fingers called Dupuytren's contraction. And the surgeon said to his assistant, give me that scaffold or something. He said, it's laying on the table. I'm half out, okay? But I heard him say, it's laying. I said, it's lying, doctor. To which he said, Bill, you better be careful. I'm getting ready to cut on you. You know? So
you're a grammar Nazi.
I love it. And you know, I love to play with it. Still love to diagram sentences. So that's what I did for 10 years. But I never gave up on the music, because, we were still singing. I was singing, first of all, with my brother and sister, but singing these new songs that I was writing, and they started catching on. We'd written about 50 songs, and about the 52nd or 3rd song was a song called He Touched Me. Mm-hmm. Oh, He Touched Me. And that was a song that splashed out. The first 50 were not that bad, but I guess we were just learning.
He Touched Me was what year?
That would have been 62 or 3, I think. Yeah. And that just caught on in the church like crazy. People say, was Elvis your first big break? And I said, no. Elvis didn't record it until 72, 10 years later, because he'd heard the Imperials sing it. Now, the song was around long before Elvis recorded it. And it was a grassroots kind of a thing. You know, people started singing it in their services, mm-hmm. and saying, do you have any more songs like that? Well, we started writing more and more and started.
So we sang a song. I was at a church, Allendale Baptist Church in Austin, Texas, now Great Hills. We would always sing, I'm So Glad I'm a Part of the Family. Yeah. God, we had the meet and greet, stand and greet, yeah. You know, those, and we'd always play that song. Yeah. That was written when?
That was probably written in 66, 67. You know, and the.
I like that song.
The verse goes, now you'll notice we say brother and sister around here. So it's because we're a family, and these folks are so dear. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, been washed in His fountain.
I was listening to on Pandora's, listening to, you know, you put in the Gaithers, and that song came up, and it brings back a lot of memories. But you have a lot of songs like that that bring back a lot of memories, because you know, people in their formative years growing up as a Christian, you know, that music, when I became a Christian in 1980, well, Southern gospel music, the Imperials and all that was really popular. In the Truth would come into our church a lot. And
Roger Breland did a whole project of Bill and Gloria songs, and we were quite honored. That was a great group.
Yeah, no, they were extremely talented. Okay, so what gave you the idea about the homecoming videos? Wildly popular.
Yeah. Gloria and I were married in 62. I sang with my sister for a couple of years. When she left, Gloria took her place. Gloria's never professed to be a singer. In fact, people love her. They love her lyrics. They love to hear her talk. So they'd come up and say, Gloria, I appreciate your singing today. And she'd always apologize. And I finally said to her in our early marriage, honey, just say thank you. Just say, I know you think you're not a singer. They think you're a singer. And I, you know, and I look at the pop feel. I think of John Denver, who was the greatest singer in the world. But we loved his songs. We loved his heart, you know. And you look, I'm had to think here. And you look at a Bob Dylan. He certainly wasn't a singer, but people liked, the things he was saying.
So those guys were unique, though, in their singing. You know, Joe Cocker had a unique voice. It wasn't.
Yeah. In fact, the vocal band did a whole love song project because Gloria and I were on vacation, and I had my earphones on, plugged into the iPod, and I got classical, country, pop, gospel, and contemporary, and everything on it. But here came this voice. You are so beautiful.
Yeah, it's raspy,
You are so beautiful. And tears were running down my face. I said, Gloria,
yeah,
that's our song. And the beauty of that hook, you are so beautiful to me.
Right.
Maybe not to somebody else, but and I think of my good friend Ann Smith and her husband Nathan. He was bent over a double with cancer and spina bifida and all kind of problems. At one time, came out of his, taking his shower, he's bent over, and he looked at Ann, his wife of 60 years, said, oh, Ann, I'm so sorry you have to look at this body. Ann said, I was tempted at first to say, oh, no, your body's beautiful. But we have always been truthful to each other. And she said to Nathan, Nathan, you're right. Our bodies are not what they used to be. But she said, I love that old body because it houses the person I love.
Oh, wow. That's so good.
So that's a secular song. But is that a truthful song?
Yeah.
An honest song?
Yeah.
For people who have grown together and love each other. And we come in this strange package, and we got to deal with it, right?
Yeah. Okay, let me ask you, I'm not a big musician or singer or anything like that. I like certain things. I like older music.
Yeah.
So that's why I love your music. Yeah. There's a KHCB radio here, and it's in Houston, but they would play all the older stuff. And Debbie was like, why do you listen to that? They would have this thing called Songs for Sunday, and it was older stuff.
Yeah.
But I liked that. I liked hymns and that kind of thing. When you take a singer that is considered, Pavarotti's probably considered one of the greatest singers ever.
Sure.
But he couldn't sing with the Gaither Vocal Band.
Maybe not.
I mean, it's odd to me how you have this guy that's so good, but he couldn't sing.
Okay, there's a difference between a soloist and a lead singer in a group.
Okay.
Okay. A lead singer is the guy who blows the whistle and says, you all follow me.
Okay.
He's going to color the texture, of that group. And at that point, you got to find the voices that blend with that. Pavarotti is certainly a great soloist. I don't know if he has ever sung in a group. He didn't have to because he could carry it, he could carry it himself. But it's another good comparison of that is this. I'll never forget the year that the L.A. Lakers were playing the Detroit Pistons in the final game. The L.A. Lakers had, if I remember correctly, had Shaq, had Kobe, had Gary Payton as a defensive specialist, and a couple other, you would call them all-stars. I can't even remember the players of the Detroit Pistons that year. Mm-hmm. They were not, none of them were in the Kobe Bryant category, mm-hmm. or the Shaquille O'Neal. Mm-hmm. They were what you'd call 4-5 blue collars, mm-hmm. and they won the series.
Okay.
Because the blue collars coming together were stronger than the individual soloists. Mm-hmm. That would preach on a Sunday morning. That's the same thing with the church, you know.
Yeah.
We're not probably the most talented or the best looking or the best gifted, but we were the best available at the time, and God came along and said, I think I'll use this.
Yeah.
I will bless it. I love the scripture. It's not by might, it's not by power, yeah. but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And there are all kind of biblical illustrations, David and Goliath.
Right.
You know? When God is in it, little is much when God is in it.
Right.
Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it when you go in Jesus' name.
All right, Bill, let me ask you this about player coach. So in music, we all kind of know that you can have some high-strung people that are musicians. You know,
they're called artists.
Yes.
Artists.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think that we get the term diva from...
Sometimes, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with egos. You have to have egos to do what you're doing. Just get your ego sanctified somewhere. I know you're saved. I know you're a follower of Jesus. But let's go pray and get this ego sanctified.
So as the singing coach and the coach of the team, have you ever had to come down hard like coaches would do in basketball or football or something like that if somebody starts becoming Terrell Owens or somebody that would be?
Yes. The answer is yes. And I have done this. I can remember one instance where, and it's just good people, good men who really want to do the right thing, but doing the same thing night after night after night. I can remember sitting down probably 20 years ago with one of the guys who was with us at that time saying, okay, we need to talk. What have I done to make you react like this to me? Well, Bill, what are you talking about? No. For some reason, you know, I'm getting vibes back from you that, and the bottom line was, he was tired and he had suffered some losses in his family, a bunch of others. It has nothing to do with you, right. Bill. You know, we need to talk. Mm-hmm. Because these folks bought a ticket and they came out tonight expecting us to be united as one. And we were, but it was kind of fragmented. It wasn't mm-hmm. wasn't as good as it could have been. And we have got to be one before we... I guess this... I hate to keep harping on this current group, but boy, they're so good.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Cavalier King Charles dog. They got the sweetest, best spirit in mm-hmm. the world.
I used to have one of those.
Oh, they're one?
Yeah.
And Gloria, I'll come home on a weekend and she'll say, how'd it go, Bill? She says, honey, it was so good. I said, it's a lot like Windsor, our uh-huh. King Charles dog. I said, they're too good to be true. And I'm not sugarcoating that, Pastor.
Yeah.
I think God said, and I've never had bad people work for me. I've had human beings who on a given day were just tired of Bill saying, that's not good enough. We need to do this. That's
right.
not good enough.
Right.
You know, somebody has to be quality control and say, you know, that's, and on a good day, that's fun. We've had 16 members in a group, and we've had two or three reunions, and they all came except a couple who had some scheduling conflicts. And I've talked to other managers of groups who said, we couldn't do that with our group because there's, it didn't say bad blood, but it just...
Well, I could see where you could have some friction with four really good singers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I... our reunions have been quite good. I mean, people show up and they say, those are good days. They were not easy days, mm-hmm. but those were good days. And that makes me feel good. I have a great relationship. You know, I will not have heard from Larnell Harris, for what we call him. Hey, Larnell, how are you doing? Larnell is really retired. I mean, he said, you know, I've done all that traveling. He was never great on traveling from the beginning.
Right.
Yeah. And he's raised two great kids, got a wonderful marriage.
He was on the radio program a few weeks ago, and because he had his, they did a 50 years of ministry or something, yeah. that he just put out, and he told me at 77 years old, he still said, I can hit the high C, I think is
yeah,
what he
yeah,
told
yeah.
me. He's, now, I don't know, because I asked him, I said, what's your voice like yeah. today versus when you were oh, in yeah. your prime? And he says, still pretty good.
Yeah, you know what? It really is. That wasn't his problem. His problem was he's had a couple, three hip operations and just getting around. His mobility was you know, was stretching, but you talk about a beautiful human being.
Uh-huh.
He was with us not long enough, but about 4 or 5 years. And
yeah.
boy, it's great to have him on your team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like having Michael Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
Ready
yeah.
to go. Yeah. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve talking to Bill Gaither, one of my personal favorites, and I'm really looking forward to the concert tonight. And we are just a few hours away from that. So this is a tape program, but it's one that I've been looking forward to. So don't go away. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back with more Bill. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop. So we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to the music legend, the great Bill Gaither. And one of the things that I love about Bill Gaither is not just his music and the music that he produces, but just the man that he is. He loves the Lord. He is very humble. He's very approachable and easy to talk to. And Bill, it was right before when you were at doing a concert at First Baptist Texarkana right before COVID, I got to spend quite a bit of time with you and just loved it. And I was just like, the reason that God blesses your music is because of you, because he can bless you. You know, the Bible says the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. And I recognized that about you that day when we got to visit.
That word, thanks. Yeah, it is more than the music. And I suppose anybody's like, you know, a guy who makes his living, in a lab with a test tube and chemistry and all that has to love that as much as I love what I do. Mm-hmm. But to do that, it takes a lot. Is I don't call it preparation, but I call it being alive and noticing what is going on. You know, for instance, we've just gone through a big political year, and we've heard this is going to be an election to preserve our democracy, right. Okay? It's interesting, after the election was over, both sides felt very strongly about that statement.
Right.
And both sides thought the answer for preserving the democracy that we all love so much, uh-huh, is voting for how, yeah, how they philosophically approach government, and the other side felt just as strongly about it.
Right.
And they did not realize that, in fact, everybody thought it was going to be the border and economy, and it was. I mean, those were very, very high. But they said maybe one or two, or maybe the third reason people were voting was this reason that we got to preserve our democracy. And both sides felt like if this person gets in or this person gets in, it's going to preserve our democracy. The first commandment is, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Mm-hmm. And there's all kind of scripture support for what I'm getting ready to say, because I keep seeing people reach for things that could be part of our whole philosophical, theological approach to life. But if you miss this, thou shalt not have any other gods before me, or if you miss, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added, you're going to miss the whole thing. So, a couple, 3 years ago, I don't know where it was, we pulled out an old song that Glory had written about. I went to visit the Shrine of Plenty and all this other stuff, secular stuff, and found its or rooms all filled with dust. But the chorus goes like this: I'll worship only at the feet of Jesus, his cup alone, my holy grail. There'll be no other gods before me, just Jesus only will never fail. Now, that wasn't just a song for me as the coach. There are two or three times in the night, you've been to our concerts, we have a lot of fun.
Right.
And a lot of our songs are, the first song we'll sing tonight is, I'm going to love like I'm leaving, give more than I'm receiving, laugh until it takes my breath away. I'm going to say what needs saying, pray what needs praying. I'm going to love like I'm leaving here today. And I believe that with all my heart. But you grew up in the 70s, and you probably heard a guy called Kenny Loggins. Mm-hmm. And I love the rhythm feel of a lot of his songs. I'm gonna love like I'm leaving, give more than I'm receiving. So everything comes from somewhere. Okay. So we start out with that. But the more that we get into the program, the more we're digging down and saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added. So we kept singing it and thinking about it and talking about it. And Larry Gatlin was with us one weekend just to go along. So every night I hear you talking about the hole in the heart of America. Mm-hmm. He said, do you believe that, Bill? I said, I really believe it. And I believe we're falling short. Mm-hmm. Because we keep trying to fill that hole with something else. Suzanne, our oldest child, when she's a baby, loved her pacifier. And we came to the time where we said, we better start taking this away from her, because you know, right, she'll get married one of these days. And, you know,
she won't have it.
But it caused more problems than it worth. She kept hanging on her pacifier until she came in one day and said, took it out of her mouth and said, here, Mommy, take this. It's empty. Mm. And Pastor, I believe with all of my heart, there is a hole in the heart of this country bigger than the Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lot of empty going on.
Right.
There's a whole lot of fear, a whole lot of tears. Somewhere along the way, we've lost our song. Let us stand on the rock of the ages. Let us shine like a city on the hill, because there's a hole in the heart of everyone that only God can fill.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people put all their trust in the person that they voted for during the election.
Mm-hmm.
But as a pastor, you know, and I know, it cannot fill that hole.
Right.
That only God can fill. And I believe that with all my heart. And that doesn't happen just when you get your clothes on. Now I'll shave before tonight. I look fairly decent for an old man.
You look good.
And you get out there and have fun and make love to the audience, and the audience makes love to you. They say, "I love you, Bill." I say, "I love you too."
Yeah.
You know, and I love all of that. But and that's all good, and I think it's part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the
right.
family of God. But the bottom line is this: if you're filling that hole with anything, as much as we love sports,
right,
football,
just leave you empty.
Yeah, it is still empty. And one of these days, you got to go to the Heavenly Father and say, "Take this thing.
Yeah,
it's empty.
Yeah.
There's nothing there."
Oh,
so. It gives you some background of why we do what we do. We have a lot of fun in the process. And I've had people say, "I needed to laugh. I needed to have a good time."
When you had Mark Lowry, you and Mark had great chemistry. Was most of that scripted, or was that just off the cuff?
At one time, it was off the cuff.
That's how it began?
Yeah, so something happened. We say that was pretty good. And so obviously, you put some stuff in. I grew up listening to the quartets. And the one thing that, you know, from time to time when I've done interviews with secular newspaper writers, they say, "Do you consider what you do ministry or entertainment?"
Mm.
And Hovey Lister of the Old Statesman, when he got asked that question, he would say, "Yes, yes," the next question. He wouldn't even give it the time of day.
Yeah.
I have thought about it, and that's a fairly good question, because, you know, we use a keyboard. Billy Joe uses a keyboard.
Right.
You know, same kind of a keyboard. You know, we use microphones. He uses a microphone.
Right.
You know, we use PA sets. He uses PA sets.
Yeah.
We use a lot of the same stuff. And Jesus had to be a pretty good communicator. And I probably have to be careful theologically to say entertainer, except he kept the attention of 5,000 people on a hillside and at the Sea of Galilee. I've been there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I said, "How did he keep their 5,000 people's attention without a PA system?"
Yeah, 5,000 men plus yeah. everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. But he was a great storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know how they heard it, 5,000, but it had to be divine interference or something.
Yeah.
But storytelling, some people take storytelling as the absolute truth of something is happening. Other people take it as just great entertainment. Boy, that's a fantastic story, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's fantastic insight.
Mm-hmm.
So I would make the case for him that he was an excellent communicator.
Yeah. Well, one last question, Bill, before we close out. So as you look at your life, and I think we'd say, put it in sports terms, you're in the ninth inning, bottom of the ninth, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, we pray that you have many, many more years. But, you know, when you get to be
we may go into overtime.
We may go. How do you want to be remembered?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I've come up with various things. But I've been pretty happy with the word bridge.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I brought some people together. I'm a little bit of a networker. Mm-hmm. But I think that's what a real follower of Jesus is. He is. You know, I think of the Apostle Paul. You're the theologian, but when he was in Greece, and he was so sensitive to, he said, "Boy, you are a religious bunch of folks. Mm-hmm. You got all these statues to gods, you know." But he started where they were,
right?
Rather than putting them down, right. Said, "I notice there's one there to the unknown God."
Yeah,
you know. He was just trying to bring people together and say we've got a whole lot more in common than we have that, you know, that divides us.
Right.
And I think we get in trouble when we start looking down our nose at other people who don't quite understand it. Gloria and I have been doing this since 62, 63. And from time to time we get asked, "Oh, what's one of the things that you've noticed that changes?" And I think one of the biggest changes that's happened in the last 50 years that we've been out there is the dividing line between the experiential church, which I would include the holiness and the Pentecostal folks, mm-hmm. and the Calvinist folks, mm-hmm. the Baptists and Presbyterians and all. Mm-hmm. I think there's a coming together at those two families a lot more. And at this point, we realize that we can learn from both sides. I think Gloria and I have been a combination of head and heart from the beginning. Mm-hmm. I've seen when the heart gets out of, or the experiential approach gets a little silly mm-hmm. at times. But at the same time, I have seen the more mental approach to the gospel mm-hmm. is getting out of hand too, because we can't start playing God.
Right. Yeah. Well, spirit and truth.
Spirit and truth.
If we don't have, everything can become so sterile and just doctrinaire, and we miss the connection with Jesus life-giving. Yeah. What would you say, Bill, your primary spiritual gift is?
I think I'm a pretty good cook. I
missed that one in the list.
Yeah, by a cook, I mean, all I do is take people's gifts and put them together with this. So if I could put this together
okay,
with
so
this.
Okay, so administration.
So you can... And I love it. And when it works out and they say, "Hey, this is fun," I got to come back to the body. You know, the head does not say to the arm or foot, "I don't have any need of thee."
Right.
You know, when we come together as a family, it's just a whole lot more beautiful. And I enjoy doing that. Mm-hmm. And people saying, "I didn't know this could be this much fun."
Yeah.
So I think I'm a pretty good cook, and
you seem to be an encourager.
I hope I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what struck me when I met you, is you have the gift of encouragement.
And when we do sound checks, and we'll do one here today, and my job is God to say that, and when there's something of correction, I have a microphone in my hand. I will mute the microphone, just go personally to the guy rather than say it over the speaker, you know.
Right. Correct in private.
Correct in private.
Yeah.
I think this is true. I think issues get pretty complicated. There are some issues as a pastor that you can deal with from the pulpit, mm-hmm. the general. But there's some pastoral issues that you got to get on the phone and say, "Hey, Charlie, can we have lunch?" Mm-hmm. And go out, feed him a hamburger and say, "You and I need to talk."
Right.
As a pastor, I'm a little bit concerned here.
Right.
And you can tell me it's none of my business, and that's okay too. But I love you and I love your family. Mm-hmm. And I think you probably need to think this through carefully.
Yeah. Very good. Well, Bill Gaither has been my guest today on Real Truth for Today. Thanks so much for listening. Go out, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as His witness. God bless you.